Professor Jason Park, welcome to El Microscopio. We wanted to ask you, when was the ISCC Working Group on Cancer Genomics established, and what is the mission of this working group?
The ISCC Working Group on Cancer Genomics was established in 2015 with a mission to survey the currently used and emerging technologies in clinical cancer genomics, and we desire to establish a framework to guide clinical laboratories.
How was the genome sequence evolved in terms of time and cost?
The first international effort, known as the Human Genome Project, resulted in the first draft human genome sequence in 2001. At that time, the total project cost was estimated to be $2.7 billion, and it took a decade to complete. In 2003, it was estimated that to perform each additional human genome sequence would cost $50 million in 3 to 4 months. Currently, there have been tremendous changes, and it is now feasible to sequence a single human genome for less than $1,000 in a single day. Now, each unit of DNA is called a base or base pair, and a human genome has 3 billion bases. At its best, the traditional sequencing method known as Sanger sequencing could analyze millions of bases of DNA in a single day. Currently, a tabletop instrument, such as the sequencer from the Illumina Corporation, known as the NextSeq 500, it can analyze over 100 billion bases in a single day. The key technological advancement for the improvement in sequencing efficiency was the introduction of so-called massively parallel sequencing, which was commercialized in 2005. Prior to massively parallel sequencing, traditional DNA sequencing, including the Human Genome Project, was performed by Sanger technology, which had been developed in the 1970s. Sanger sequencing focused on single regions of DNA and could analyze hundreds of bases at a time. In contrast, massively parallel sequencing examines tens of millions of regions of DNA at the same moment or in parallel.
Why is cancer sequencing analysis complex?
Although human genome sequencing has become routine in many research centers, there are specific technical and biological challenges for sequencing cancer specimens. First, most cancer specimens have been processed by harsh chemicals such as formalin. This chemical treatment occurs because the first priority for cancer specimens is a microscopic diagnosis and classification. The chemical treatment with agents such as formalin fragment and degrade DNA. This makes it much more difficult to sequence. Second, most cancer specimens are not purely cancer, but a mixture of cancer with non-cancerous tissues such as blood vessels, fat, skin, or normal organs. When a non-pure specimen is sequenced, the results are a mixture of cancer and non-cancer genomes. To address this problem, much more sequencing, on the order of 5 to 10 times as much, must be performed to adequately evaluate the mixed sample. In addition, there are biological issues with cancer genomes. Cancers are not uniform in their genomes. A person's cancer may have many subpopulations, each with a specific genomic characteristic. This is referred to as cancer heterogeneity, and it is a clinical problem with cancer genomic evaluation. A subpopulation of cancer cells may have a key mutation, which may result in the recurrence of a cancer or the development of metastatic disease. However, this subpopulation may be less than 5% of the cells. Similar to the issue with a mixture of cancer with non-cancer cells, addressing cancer heterogeneity requires much more sequencing, on the order of 10 to 100 times more sequencing compared to non-cancerous conditions. Because of the significantly greater amount of sequencing required per cancer specimen, an alternative to sequencing the whole genome of a specimen is to sequence a targeted number of genes. Clinical cancer tests for targeted gene sequencing are available and typically analyze on the order of tens to hundreds of genes rather than the 20,000 plus genes in the human genome.
The key in genetic medicine is to find the genes that are connected to the therapeutic interventions. How many genes are related to the therapeutic interventions and for what types of cancer?
In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration currently only has several dozen agents which are approved to target specific biomarkers and/or mutations. These agents include drugs which target well-known genetic alterations such as HER2NU, also known as ERBB2, EGFR, KIT, and ALK. However, there are currently over 500 clinical oncology trials in the world, which are evaluating over 400 novel compounds for targeted therapy. In a 2014 review of cancer oncology trials, there were estimated to be at least 500 genes which are altered in cancer and which are thought to be possible targets for a therapeutic. The key hurdle in cancer genomics is no longer the ability to sequence cancers. This is now becoming routine. But rather, the challenge is testing and finding effective therapeutic agents. Over the past 2 years, there's been a major shift in cancer clinical trials. This migration has been to a so-called basket design, which focuses on cancer genetic variation rather than the microscopic or histologic subtype. This novel basket trial design allows for grouping of many different cancer types into molecular categories rather than the microscopic or histologic subtype. This new type of grouping permits the rapid evaluation of multiple therapeutic agents in parallel. In the United States in 2015, a major basket trial was launched known as the NCI Match. The NCI Match trial, which is ongoing, has centralized sequencing in four facilities in the United States, each which evaluates a tumor for 200 genes. The primary endpoint of NCI Match is clinical response rate, with a positive response defined as greater than or equal to 25%. A secondary endpoint of NCI Match is progression-free survival at 6 months with a rate of greater than or equal to 35%. So with the introduction of these new trial designs, we will see a potential for cancer defined by genetic mutation or genetic alteration rather than the histologic subtype or the organ of origin of the cancer.
And how is the situation in terms of the reference materials for sequencing?
So a major change that will occur over the coming decade will be the initiation of quality measures specific for cancer genomic laboratories. This will enable us to standardize sequencing methods and sequencing quality. Traditionally, clinical laboratories performing DNA testing would use reference materials which addressed or examined specific DNA variants at a single base of DNA. However, because the human genome is 3 billion bases, early on it was recognized that we needed to have novel reference materials which examined many more variants, if not the entire genome. In 2011, the United States National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, initiated a public-private academic consortium known as Genome in a Bottle. This resulted in the first genomic reference material, NA12878, which was an established human cell line. The reference material is not only the DNA itself from the cell line, but it is also the data from the integration and arbitration of 14 genome sequencing data sets from multiple laboratories using five different sequencing technologies. In May 2015, the first version of Genome in a Bottle was released as a pilot reference material by NIST. The NIST Genome in a Bottle reference material will be critical for the advancement of clinical laboratory genomic assay validation and quality assurance.
And would you like to share any final comment on this topic?
The initial studies on cancer genomics in the clinical laboratory have demonstrated a potential utility. Over the next couple of years, we are likely to see cancer genomic testing become routine.
Professor Jason Park, yes, it has been a pleasure to have you in Microscopio. Thank you very much for sharing this interview with us.
Thank you very much.